Welcome to the Head Trash Show. My name is Alexia Leachman and I'm the founder of Head Trash, home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence and contentment in your life. My goal with this podcast is to teach you how to create some headspace by helping you to unpick what's blocking you and sharing some tips and how-tos for clearing it. Tune in every week as I share simple strategies to help you to achieve confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to headtrash.com to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show. Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is your host, Alexia Leachman. Now, today I want to talk about goals because we are encouraged all the time to set goals in our life. But because we're at Head Trash and we use the law of opposites, what I want to encourage you to consider today is that goals mess you up big time. And to help me to put the case forward, I've invited back on the show Chris Milbank, the founder of Reflective Repatterning, who understands the law of opposites more than anyone I know, to help to explain why setting goals can actually be a really, really bad thing and can mess you up big time. Welcome back, Chris.
Hi, thank you very much for having me back.
So, setting goals, a bad thing. Is that what you reckon?
There are good goals, but there are many bad goals that we have. I mean, just going back to the school days for many people, children are brought up on values that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation, and some have been very protective and useful. And some of these values may be like, it's good to work hard, to be a success, to be special, to achieve, be an achiever. And so a lot of these values kind of get installed and they do us good in some ways. And then we're told to think about careers and, you know, what could we do? And these values are there empowering us up, thinking, well, I have to be special. I've got to work hard. I need to be professional. I need to be good. So I've got to go down anything that's other people say is in the good list. You know, I can include that. Otherwise, I'd feel bad. And so forth. And many children kind of get guided, therefore, into things that don't really make them smile, that don't make their heart sing. So many students are studying something that doesn't really interest them, just so that they can fit in with the values that are emotionally installed in them that is going to make them a high achiever, successful, and so forth. And they go through, and some of them are very successful. They get through their exams, and then they go on to college and further study something that's not really making their heart sing, that's not really making them smile. So they're kind of fighting this inner stress, but these values are installed, and they've got these goals. They're going to get a fantastic job, maybe in the city, or be a high flyer. And then they go to university, and they get loans of tens of thousands of pounds or dollars, depending on or whatever currency for whatever country you're in. And they have these loans on their back, and then they have to go out and they earn, and they're working now in a career of something that's not really making their heart sing and not really making them smile. And these are the people that I get in droves in their 30s and 40s when they end up with burnout, adrenal fatigue, chronic fatigue, anxiety, stress, depression, even suicidal thoughts, or just fed up, or at a crossroads, or, you know, what is life all about type of thing. And it's with these people, then I say to them, close your eyes. What makes you smile? If I could wave a magic wand and get rid of all the self-sabotaging, limiting beliefs that you have about thinking that you couldn't even have it. That's why you don't even know. That's why a lot of people don't even know what they want. because of the self-sabotaging, limiting beliefs and values that have got in the way? What would really make your heart sing? What would really make you smile? And then we unpick these. We unpick them logically and energetically with head trash and reflective patterning techniques. And we unpick them and unpick them and unpick them until they begin to smile, until they feel that warmth come up in their chest and through into their head from their heart. And they say, you know what? I don't think I can have it, but if I would like this, you know, I'd like to travel or live in a castle or whatever it is. And we unpick it and we energetically treat it. We energetically treat it with opposites and energy, opposites and logic and thoughts until they can go off. But of course, there are those that went to school and they were pushed into doing things that they didn't really make them smile, that didn't make their heart sing. And they just felt unmotivated by the classes and the studies and they dropped out or they failed the exams or didn't do nearly as well. And of course, remember some of the values that get installed on us as being special and successful, and then they failed. Mm. And the, you know, that's an opposite. You know, failure is often considered an opposite to being successful and being an achiever. And of course, this is going to make them feel bad. And of course, you know, we know the difference between good and bad, so we don't want to be bad at something. And now we're feeling bad about being bad and bad about being a failure and failing at being good and failing at being a success. And a lot of these kids will go off and either do mundane jobs or not work at all, not get a job, have anxiety, stress, and depression, be on psychotic, psychiatric drugs like, you know, antidepressants and all of this kind of thing, paid for by the people that are striving to be success and working very hard, paying higher taxes to support all these people who are pushed into doing something that they didn't want to do. And so it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Wouldn't it be just so good if at an early age there was more emphasis in schools, you know, what do you really want in life? Let's see if we can help you somewhat towards it. Let's have a bit of a balance between success and failure. I, you know, I want to be a failure sometimes. I want to fail at having a shit life. I want to fail at having burnout in my 30s and 40s. I want to fail at being depressed. I want to fail at being anxious. You know, failure can be wonderful. And if people just only knew about these opposites.
So what you're saying is maybe not necessarily that all goals are a bad thing, but that actually we're setting goals around the wrong things. And if we were only to set goals around the stuff that is really going to make us happy, the stuff that's really going to make our hearts sing, rather than setting goals against financial measures or outward, you know, social status symbols or that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in America, there's been study of self-made millionaires and billionaires, and the vast majority of them have actually been high school and university dropouts that have made it on their own. These are youngsters that could actually, they dared rebel against some of the values that institutions and families and so forth have been, you know, passing down to them. And have done very, very well. There will be others that did drop out and didn't do well, of course. Mm. So the idea is to really have more of a discussion on it to show that goals can be really good. That's already been fairly achieved. That's the norm. But then let's have the discussion. Why do goals fuck you up? Mm. And give people choice, freedom, flexibility to choose. Mm. Those that are happiest in themselves, these are the people that bring out their own personal genius. Mm. These are the people that become who they really, really are. Everybody has a unique skill set. Everybody has something that they are better at than somebody else. And this is what we're not finding. When people are happy, their genius comes out. Mm. Their creativity comes out. Their studying and their hard work comes out. And it's guiding people to where they are happy. What are they happiest doing? I know many people that from an early age that were able to cut out some of the doctrine and the nonsense they've been taught and actually go off and do what made them happy. Mm. And they went on to be completely successful in their lives in all sorts of different fields. Some of them are very, very famous people, top of their field in acting or science or the arts and so forth. And there are many, many, many that just worked harder and harder and not smarter and stressed, and they strained, and they either fell out on the way or they overworked themselves and burnt out later on.
Mm.
So I find it also interesting, just kind of going into the cities in various different countries and you know, going on the underground in New York and San Francisco and in London and, you know, many other places, and you see the high flyers in the city. And these are people that got huge student loans on their back, and they're having to work very hard to pay the extra, you know, the interest on the loans back, and whether they borrowed it from the bank or by government in the UK and so forth. And it's also costing them to have these jobs. The transport in and out, trains, buses, tubes. And then you've got to have the extra more materialistic expensive clothes and iPhones and all sorts, the Starbucks coffees several times a day and what have you. And you think that they're working harder and harder and harder and harder still, but spending out to have that classy job, to have that that success achiever state, the spending and spending and spending and spending and to have it. Yet many people, if they only just did what they were happy at, they wouldn't have to work so hard. It's about working smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. At times, there's too much emphasis on working harder, but not enough about working smarter. That's people want, the vast majority of hardworking people that they're having to work hard, that they're trying to fulfill the success and achieving in their life. So, they say to me, wish I had a bit more time to myself.
So when you say working smarter, what do you mean?
Well, sometimes just adding up the expense of going to work. is one thing. In London, there are many people that spend £3,000 on their transport fares on tubes and trains per year. They'll spend probably, you know, $10 or so a day on Starbucks coffees, and then they have their expensive lunches in the cities and the uniforms that go with it and the fast space type of life that goes with it, and the fancy this and the fancy that. And they're not really, really happy. But when you then compare it to what would make them happy, maybe it's a far less inexpensive life as well. So how hard are they working to achieve these values of being special, having to work hard, having to be a success, to be the pride and joy of your parents or mentors who, you know, particularly love working in a certain field? There is an expense to it. Mm. And once we begin to add those up, and focus on working a little bit smarter and not harder, sometimes we can actually be better off and work 3 days a week instead of five.
Mm. So, for example, the person that might be working really, really hard in somewhere like London or New York, you know, putting in the hours, spending all that time commuting, the money on the wardrobe, the money on the lunches and the coffee. And actually what they want to do more than anything is be a surfer dude teaching people to windsurf on a beach, or a yoga teacher out in India. If they actually went and did that, they probably wouldn't have to earn the kind of money that they're currently earning, and they would be doing something they absolutely adore.
Yeah, I mean, they could downsize on their rent or the mortgage, you know, having a cheap place that would save an absolute fortune. Some people would have already paid off some of their mortgage if they're real high flyers, and so they'd actually have money in the bank. You know, they could invest that into their pension if they liked, or they could invest it in, you know, taking a break. It's unfortunate that so many people end up taking the break because it's forced on them. Mm. Through nervous breakdown, exhaustion, chronic fatigue, other disease states. You know, there isn't a doctor on the planet that doesn't admit that stress is a main factor in just about every diseased illness state. Mm. And so many have heart attacks and cardiovascular problems and digestive problems that eventually forces them to quit and listen to their body and their minds and their hearts that have been telling them to do something else for a long while. Mm. But unfortunately, then they're in a state where they can't really enjoy the things that they really, really wanted to do in the first place. Mm. Until maybe, you know, they have some health checks and maybe some alternative health practices and maybe medical to help them back on board. But of course, you know, they're then forced into days, weeks, months, even years off without the income coming in, and they use up their savings if they had any in the first place, just trying to get well again. Seems to be that a lot of people can be on the wrong roundabout. They can't get off.
So we could put, you're pointing your finger firmly at bad goals here.
Yeah, bad goals and installed values that we put too much emphasis on. Being a success, the value of that alone, I mean, it can be very, very good. It drives us to go forward, but sometimes being a success pushes us too far. And there are benefits in being unsuccessful. I'm really, really glad in the end I was unsuccessful in a certain business. I think I would have had a heart attack by now. So, you know, that perhaps saved my life. A little story, my lovely, lovely dad, loving the bits, and there I was as a young teenager still at school, and I'd got into trouble. My year had said to me, "Milbank, what do you want to be?" And first of all, I told him a drug addict, and then when he called me back to his office, I was joking. He said, "What do you want to be?" And I said, "I want to start at the top and work my way down." And he contacted my father. And my father said, "You know, hey, Chris, what do you want to be?" And I said, "Well, I thought about this." And I said, "If I was a milkman, I could finish at midday and have the afternoons to, you know, have fun and enjoy myself." And him really caring about my situation, and I suppose being naughty at school and a rebel at school, he did the best by me and said, "Hey, you know, what about really maybe being something special?" And of course, that stayed in my brain, and there were a lot of benefits from that value. I ended up being on the straight and narrow, I guess, working 17 years, running a family business garage. Very, very good, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I burnt myself out, like many, many people, and I stopped. After 17 years, there was a lot of benefits. There was a lot of non-benefits as well. And when I got burnt out, when I was at that crossroads and I didn't know where I was going, I was completely lost, having worked sort of 15, 17-hour days for 17 years. What was I going to do next? And it took a lot of going inside and healing and treating and figuring out and so forth until I found my path. And here I am now, got my health back on track. I'm living out in a very warm climate on a sunny island somewhere, with access to beaches every day. I work 3-4 days instead of working 6-7 days, working smarter, not harder, and having realized that the driver of being special kind of made me unspecial, exhausted, fatigued, and worn out in the end. I'd gone too much that way. And perhaps I was special in another way. And when I did what made my heart sing, when I did what made me smile, then my specialities came out. And that's what I'm doing today. And I love every part of it.
Mm-hmm. So if someone's listening to this here now and thinking, geez, that sounds, you know, I'm working hard, not smart. What might be the first thing for them, the first step on this journey to start trying to uncover what it is that makes their heart sing? What's the first thing they can do?
Well, I would say close your eyes for a few minutes each day and just ask yourself what it is that you really want in life. If you could dismiss all beliefs for the day, all beliefs that you have about what you can do and can't do, what you want to do and what you shouldn't do. If you could dismiss all beliefs for a day, what would you really be doing instead? And for some people, the self-sabotaging that gets in the way, they're going to find it near enough impossible. And this needs to be unpicked by a head trash RR practitioner energetically. For other people, they may get an inkling and their inner voice may say, oh yeah, but I can't really do this because I've got children, because I've got this, because I need so much income because of that, because of this and so forth. And all these beliefs that may even be facts, when we energetically treat facts, then new ideas and new facts come into play. So really what you can start off doing is just asking yourself each day, what do I really want in life? If a magic wand could be waved, what do I want? And then think about how that would affect you. Would it make you happy, excited, contented? And then you've got to look at areas in your life where you could be happier, make small steps, where you could be more contented, make small steps. Ask yourself the question every day, how can I work smarter and not harder? And eventually your mind will come up with some ideas. But this is powerful stuff, and it often needs a powerful treatment. And this is why so many that have gone to endless personal development trainings and books and videos and DVDs have only got so far. As you know, with Head Trash and RR, we have perhaps the most powerful mind effective tool in diagnosing and treating all self-sabotage that gets in the way of a specific goal or what makes your heart sing and what makes you smile. And that needs to be applied.
Okay. So thank you so much for sharing your insights on the bad side of goals and why they mess you up. And I hope people listening have really got an insight as to what Chris is on about when he says that, you know, you really have got to focus on the stuff that makes you happy, because it's only when you're doing that stuff that the whole world around you changes. And that is your way of changing the world and making it a better place by starting with yourself, isn't it, Chris?
It is, you know, and I just another little adder in here. They're going to be parents here, and they're going to be parents thinking, oh my God, I don't want my kids to think this, you know, they're part of the way through high school or university or college. And I can understand that. And I can understand the very good intentions of keeping them on board and having them work very, very hard. But I would also say to those parents to just question whether these are your values that will make you happy. And if your children have their own values or their own things that would make them happy, do they conflict with the parent? And just to sort of begin to question that, are you as a parent actually being more about protecting yourself from being upset and making yourself being happy by persuading your children to go down a certain route? Did that happen to you when you were a child? Are you going to do that again as a generational thing? Or are you going to discuss the options? And maybe it's a combination approach that is needed. A parent has great responsibilities. They want the safety and the utmost for their children. And what they're doing is good in many, many ways. But I just want parents to think about the options and are some of these goals f***ing up your children in the long run.
And on that thought, we'll say goodbye. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you for having me yet again. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
You've just been listening to Alexi Leachman here on The Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, I'd really appreciate you leaving a review here on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to headtrash.com to get your copy of our free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. So now stay tuned for upcoming episodes and more tips and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time, bye for now.